We've chosen something very special just for you. We've uncorked it. We've let it properly breathe. We've added a healthy dose of fun. And now, your wine captain, David Wilson, is ready to personally serve you.
Today on Grape Encounters Radio, you'll meet a very special 7th-generation French winemaker of the female persuasion, Dominique Prière. Then we'll talk about the growing practice of blending wine and beer with Dr. Bill Sizek of Stone Brewery. Next, we'll get a crash course on Chilean wines from the very charming Max Arrowvine, who is both a winemaker for Conocer Vineyard and Winery and the company's brand ambassador. And then it's a follow-up conversation from last week's show about adding a little water to your wine with our slightly skeptical gadget guru, Matt Dubow of EpicStyle.com.
This is Grape Encounters.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's time for your weekly Grape Encounter. David Wilson here, and I'm at Uncorked Laguna, or Laguna Uncorked, in Laguna Beach, California. And it's not unlike a lot of wine events that go on, really, not just throughout the United States, but throughout the world. But this particular event has a wonderful selection of winemakers from around the globe, and one that we got to spend a little time with this morning at a seminar, and now we get a little personal one-on-one, is Dominique Prière, who is from Domaine Prière Brunet. Yes, that's very, very French. It's also one of the most popular spots here at this particular event. There's been a long line there all day long, even though there are so many great wines that come from America. There's certainly a big interest in French wines right now, isn't there, Dominique?
Yes.
Tell me about your experiences bringing your wines into the United States. More and more wine being exported from France to the U.S.?
Yeah, we have a demand for 5 years now, increasing, of course, because people like to have a real Chardonnay with a purity. The terroir is speaking when you drink our Chardonnay compared to other Chardonnay in the world.
So what would be different for somebody who is trying one of your Chardonnays versus a Chardonnay from, say, California or some other part of the U.S.?
You taste the earth. You taste the subsoils. We have a different Chardonnay. For example, we have a stretch Bourgogne Chardonnay with is light, fruity, but a little bit mineral. That means you have a small taste of earth, of clay. We can feel the earth and also the limestones. And we can also age this wine in oak barrels, but French oak barrels from the Forêt de Troncé, which is the best of France. Of course, it's expensive, but when you taste the Meursault, oh, you say it's a real French soil.
Do you think that most wine drinkers appreciate the difference between the types of oaks that are used to age wine in?
Yeah. Of course, if you use Troncé barrels, Bertrange barrels, it won't be the same thing at the end. Bertrand's Forest has a strong taste, powerful taste. That's why we use fine woods, that's Troncé or Forest of Les Vosges. That's the best for white wine for me.
Okay, so let's talk about your family for a second. Your family is how many generations of winemaking?
I'm the second generation.
Seventh generation.
So my ancestors bought a house in 1804. And after I arrived, my grandfather, Georges Prière, he got a son, Guy, who got married with a lady from Meursault, which had vineyards. And when she arrived at the domain, she said, the name is Prière, but my name is Brunet. I want to have the name on the label now. The domain is known as Domaine Prière Brunet.
So she insisted on having a hyphenated name.
Yeah, and after I was born, I got married, we got a son, and now the son is following the wine business. That means the eighth generation is working with me.
At what age were you working at the winery?
I started when I was about 19.
19 years old.
Yes. At 18, I studied in the University of Dijon to receive a diploma of oenologist. That means you learn about wine, making wine, tasting wine, and analyzing wine.
So you are the winemaker at the winery?
With my son now.
With your son now?
Yeah.
How many lady winemakers in France versus men who are making wine?
I don't know, but in Burgundy, 10 women who make the wine.
There are 10.
Around.
And a lot more men. Is it a trend, though, that more and more women are becoming winemakers?
Yes. 10 years ago, some ladies say, why not? We have to make the wine. And we are delicate and make perhaps softer wine, not rubbish wine.
Is there any discrimination that goes on when it comes to winemaking and gender?
No, it's okay now because...
It's okay now.
Yes. And my name is Dominique, so when people write, they don't know.
They don't know if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah.
That helps you, yeah.
And my son got a young baby, Gabriel, and I'm going to say the ninth generation is now born.
Now, is Gabriel a male name or a female?
Male.
It's a male name.
Yes.
That could be female too, right?
But Gabriel Prieur is no.
You're very tricky in that family.
I'm very proud.
Tell me about the wines that you make.
We've got 50 acres, mainly in Santenay, Chassaigne-Montrachet, Meursault, Volnay, Pommard, and Beaune, and mostly Premier Cru wines.
So top of the heap, as we say here.
Yes, yes, yes. Selection of good wines.
Yeah, best of the best. How many acres are you actually growing grapes on? Everything estate grown?
50 acres we got.
50 acres.
Yes, that's what we mean.
And your wines actually make it to all of the states here in the U.S.? Most of them?
No, we sell abroad 40%. The rest is in France. So we have a bit crop in the United States. But good customers.
Are more and more people understanding the idea that where a grape is grown puts its stamp on what that wine tastes like? Is this a concept that's being better understood now, or do we have a long ways to go?
If you want to keep the terroir, you have to cultivate the terroir. That means you have to plow each 2 weeks. That's a hard work.
Yes.
When you spray the vines, you don't have to spray each week. You only spray when you need, when you see some disease.
And what you're saying is that a lot of winemakers will actually be on a schedule.
Exactly.
And so every Monday at 3 o'clock...
That's very bad. If you want to keep terroir, please don't spray a lot.
Do you think wine has gotten better now since the time that you started when you were 19?
It will be easier to make wine now.
It's easier to make it.
Yes, you have machine to heat, to cool the must. It's easier for me.
How much time do you spend every day in the winery?
10 hours.
10 hours a day.
But my favorite work is to taste the wine each barrel each month.
Each barrel each month. So tell me about that for a second. Every single barrel.
Because you have to see each barrel. Perhaps you have on 100 barrels, one barrel who have something bad happens. So you have to correct this wine because when you bottle the wine, you mix with the other wine and it's damaged your cuvée. So it's very important to follow your wine during the aging.
How often does that happen? That you're going through the barrel room and you try this barrel and this is good.
Yeah.
And the next one, this is good.
Yeah.
And this is good. And then you come to one and you go, uh-oh, problem.
Oh, yeah.
Now what?
So we analyze. Perhaps the fermentation has been stopped. We have to do something. Perhaps shake the lees.
Do you love to blend wine?
We can't blend the wine. That means we only can blend the same wine of the cuvée. If you have 20 barrels of Meursault Charme, Premier Cru, for example, you can blend them. But you can't blend Meursault Charme and Meursault Chevalier and other. That's not possible.
That's not allowed.
That's the law. It's like that. Huh?
One last question for you. The Chinese have been coming to France in a very big way, buying a lot of wine, but also buying a lot of land as well.
They are asking for chateau and vineyard around, and they want to pay maximum. They got money. So,
have you had any offers?
I had contact last year with them. They want to buy half the crop of the domain. Oh, I say no. Yeah, no room for you now. We'll just start with 100 cases and wait and see.
The Chinese are claiming that in 25 years that they will have the largest wine production in the world. Do you believe that? In China.
But it's so big. They can cultivate and make wine in China. It's not a big problem. They have many people who live there. They will always ask for wine.
But anybody can make wine. Not everybody can make good wine.
Good wine. And especially from Burgundy wine, we have a subsoil. They can't copy. They have not the same subsoil. You got also good wines in California, for example, but it's not a subsoil from Burgundy. Each wine at each place in a table.
What other wines from around the world do you enjoy besides French wines? Are you allowed to say that?
Yes.
Do you like California Cabernets? You're not going to say, are you?
Pinot Noir, okay.
Okay, Pinots, okay.
Yeah.
How about Oregon Pinots?
I prefer California.
You like the California?
Yes.
What about New Zealand wines? Sauvignon Blancs?
Yes, I visited them. This was very nice.
What about Chilean wines? Not so much.
Too strong, yeah, for me. Yeah.
So Argentina, the same thing?
Yeah.
Anything else? Italian wines? No?
No.
You wouldn't be allowed to say that.
I'm special.
All right. It has been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining me. It's Dominique Priere. Explain how you can find your wines. I guess best thing is to go online, maybe, and search.
We have an importer in your country, in California, or different state in the United States.
But you can Google it. It's Domaine Priere Brunet, which is P-R-I-E-U-R. -Brunet.
Yes, located in Saint-Tenay.
That's it. Thank you very much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters after this. Grape Encounters Radio is proudly brought to you by EpicStyle.com. If you're a wine, spirit, or beer lover, Epic Style will make you feel like a kid in a candy store.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we've built a very special kind of cellar. It's where we keep our best years on hand for your enjoyment. Each week, David Wilson picks, stomps, ferments, and bottles conversation about your favorite beverage, and he does it with the most interesting people in and around the business of wine. The topics, the history, the perspective, it's unlike anything else you'll find. Nearly 200 episodes of Grape Encounters at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Back in 1976, an amazing, unthinkable event in Paris changed the way the world thought about wine. It was a blind tasting that gave little-known American wines the opportunity to be judged side by side with legendary wines from France. The results of this unthinkable challenge made news around the world and made a humble, Croatian-born American winemaker a true folk hero. Mike Gergich is turning 90. And is still making amazing wines along with his family at Gergich Hills Estate in Rutherford, California. The same qualities that put his Chardonnay in the spotlight and the Napa Valley on everyone's radar can be found in every bottle of wine made at Gergich. You can learn more about Mike and his wines at Gergich.com. That's GRGICH.com. Mike, from everyone at Grape Encounters Radio, I want to wish you a very happy birthday. We love your wines, and we love you even more.
As a Grape Encounterist, you know how much fun an hour of conversation about wine can be each week. But there's no way we can pack everything into a show. Listeners just like you are turning the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group into an incredible online community where like-minded wine lovers converse, share information, and inspire each other with posts on a variety of interesting topics. If you haven't discovered your community, join in today on Facebook by entering Grape Encounters Radio.
Grape Encounters Radio coming to you from a massive, and I mean massive, wine event going on in Laguna Beach, California. But it's, not unlike a lot of events that go on around the country. A lot of great winemakers here from all over the world. And so you're probably wondering, why in the world would I grab a beer guy to talk on Grape Encounters Radio? But he's no stranger to Grape Encounters Radio. We had him on last year. It's Dr. Bill Sizek. He is with Stone Brewing, one of the most interesting people who does an event that I actually attended last night, which is where you pair food with wine and beer and then decide which one you like best. Not the food, but the wine or the beer. And welcome to the show. It's good to have you in person.
Thank you, David.
That was a fun event last night. And I never heard what the results were.
Well, can I fill you in on that?
All right, go ahead.
It was wine 2, beer 3.
The whole idea of what you guys did last night, right. It's a very interesting concept because people always think of pairing food and wine,
right?
But not food and beer necessarily. Right. Beer goes with hot dogs and Doritos and things like that.
The beauty of craft beer now is they have complex flavors just like wine. So what we're able to do, carbonation in beer, which handles the scrubbing bubbles, cleansing the palate. We have bitterness, which cuts through the richest fat of cheeses and meats and chocolates. We have sweetness, which handles the hottest chili. And we have caramelization, which matches that magic Maillard reaction that the chefs talk about when they sear grilled meats or even things like portobello mushrooms.
That chasm between beer and wine is getting narrower and narrower and narrower, isn't it? Because one of the things that I noticed last night was that some people who said, I don't really drink beer, I don't like beer, were going, wow, this is amazing. There was one woman in particular who was actually one of the organizers of this event who said, I don't ever drink beer.
Right.
And yet, by the time she got to that fifth beer, which was a beer infused with coffee and chocolate,
right,
she was a believer.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. What I attribute it to is, just like we all grew up on Kraft Singles and Wonder Bread and bologna, now with the slow food movement and artisanal foods, same with wine, you're getting better quality wines. You're not worrying about Gallo on the shelves. You're going in for these great artisanal producers. Same with craft beer. We're all together, wine, beer, food. We're all fighting that good fight about those mass-produced, ubiquitous things that are sitting on the grocery store shelves that don't have any flavor.
A lot of beer makers making wine and vice versa, right?
Exactly.
But here's the thing that's most interesting to me. And the last time I had you on the show, we were talking about the melding of beer and wine,
right,
and actually having them in the same glass. There was very little, if any, of that going on. That's really taken off, hasn't it?
Right, especially with the grapes. Probably the premier beer is Dogfish Head out of Milton, Delaware. Their Noble Rot. They actually take 51.5% of the beer, and then they take 49.5% Viognier, and they blend
Viognier
them together. But the grape. And so they take the grape, and it gets these huge vinous notes. And so it blends beautifully with the beer, and you start off, and you subject yourself to this malt and this hops.
Do they actually brew the grape with the rest of the ingredients in the beer?
And so what happens is all fermentable beverages work the same, whether it's spirits, beer, or wine. They basically allow the starches to convert to sugars, and the yeast eats them and makes alcohol,
right,
and carbonation. So what they do is they take the Viognier grapes, they put it in there, but they use 49% of that, and the yeast eats the residual sugars from that, and they create alcohol, so it blends together with the grains that are doing the same thing. So beer and wine are basically coming together in this perfect marriage.
Tell me how off the wall you guys are getting over at Stone Brewing.
Well, we do everything. You know, craft beer is such a great thing. Historically, adjuncts are a bad term. They were used in the 30s, 40s, and 50s for dumbing down beer and dumbing down food. You'd put corn syrup in a beer to make, or rice to make it less valuable. Now it's all about adjuncts to add flavor. So we add things like chipotle peppers, espresso, chocolate, things like coriander, cardamom, you name it. One of our brewers just made a cask ale with our pale ale, and they basically made a martini. They took juniper and cardamom and coriander and other botanicals that would normally go in a gin and put it in the beer. And it came out into this amazing complex flavors.
So the people who were traditionally wine drinkers who never consume beer, are they coming over to the beer side?
They are.
Or are the beer drinkers coming over to the wine side?
I think they both are. What they're doing is they're both moving away from the Budweiser, Miller, Coors of the world. And they're going, wow, I hated beer because I always thought it tasted like this fizzy yellow thing. And now I'm going, wow, it has chocolate in it. It has cherries. I can have descriptors just like I have great wine. And likewise, as beer drinkers become more educated in drinking craft beers, they can appreciate great wines.
We're talking to Dr. Bill Cizik. How did you become a doctor of beer, by the way?
Well, I was a combat medic in the military, so just like in all the war movies, I'm not a doctor. But in the war movies, they call you Doc. You know, Doc, I'm wounded. So I was known in the military as that. Then I got in the beer and wine industry, and everybody just kind of segued over. Even though I worked in the medical field, the doctors would call me Dr. Bill, and I'd have to apologize to the patients. I'd have to go, no, I'm not really a doctor. They just call me that because I'm an educator. And so I can't get rid of it.
Do you drink more wine or beer?
I drink more beer just as a natural thing. And I've always been a wine aficionado also. It just goes together. Wine, spirits, beer, they all work together. If you like one, you should like the other because they all have complex flavors and they're all enjoyable and pleasing on the palate.
The most significant thing that's happening in the world of beer and wine, in your opinion?
Well, I think this marriage where brewers and winemakers are getting together. Now we're starting to see not only beer aged in wine barrels, we're starting to see beer, and they take that beer and they go, we have a vintage that's made in Zinfandel, Petit Sirah, Syrah, Cab Franc. So they're actually doing specific varietals. And winemakers, we know they all drink beer after work because they're tired of being around the wine all day.
Don't be so sure.
So it's just a great marriage together.
What do they say? It takes a lot of beer to make a good wine, right?
Yes.
Dr. Bill Cizik, he is the ambassador of Stone Brewing and World Bistro and Gardens. They're located in Escondido, California, yes, doing some very cool things. Dr. Bill, I appreciate you being on the show.
While you're letting the wine breathe, Facebook us at facebook.com/Grape Encounters Radio.
Just where is wine country? At Grape Encounters, we know it's coast to coast and continent to continent. Our microphones have traveled far and wide for more than 3 years on vino train trips, across a vineyard via zipline, into the castles of American aristocracy, to the midway at a county fair, into the kitchens of chefs whose culinary artistry is inspired by wine, and front and center for extraordinary tastings and pairings. Where will we go next? We're on the lookout for events, businesses, and people that embody the spirit of Grape Encounters Radio. Share your suggestions. If you know of a great place or event that we should broadcast from, or have a business or guest idea, we want to hear about it. Grape Encounters can deliver national awareness, and we're as close as an email away. Drop us a line. Write to David@GrapeEncountersRadio.com. That's David@GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
That first delightful sip of a fine wine brings so much pleasure. But there's a lot more enjoyment to wine than just the wine. It's the fine gifts and accessories for home entertaining you'll find at epicstyle.com. Even those corks you've been tossing become part of your home's decor with simply beautiful wine bottle cork cages. You've got to see them at epicstyle.com. Wine and hors d'oeuvres won't inadvertently become props in a juggling act when your guests have amazing buffet plates that securely hold both food and your wine glass using just one hand. See how it works at epicstyle.com. And if champagne weren't enough fun in itself, your guests will get a real kick out of the one-of-a-kind top hat ice bucket or delightfully decorated champagne flutes. epicstyle.com. It's where you'll find creative and useful wine accessories and all you need for entertaining in all price ranges, even a huge assortment for under $25. Once you visit epicstyle.com, you'll never entertain without it. epicstyle.com. Fine gifts and accessories for home entertainment.
Now, back to Grape Encounters with David Wilson.
And I am so excited to share with you my next guest, because he comes to us all the way from Chile. And even though we make so many great wines here in America, I love Chilean wines. I buy a lot of wines from Chile, especially when money's a little tight. The values in Chile are just extraordinary. And with me right now is Max Erlwein. That's a German name, Max.
It's a German name, yes.
But you're Chilean.
Actually, it's quite common. In Chile, you're going to find a lot of Chileans who offsprings came from the European. We have a lot of European influences.
European roots. And a lot of wines with European roots as well.
Yes, yes, it
makes a lot of sense.
Yes, actually, the history of Chile was born with the wine itself. Really bad wine quality, of course, but right, since I got memory, everybody drinks wine.
Let's talk first about your winery, where it's located, and tell me a little bit about that region and what kind of wines you could expect to find from there.
So, I'm working for Conosur. It's a vineyard in Chile, winery in Chile.
By the way, that's C-O-N-O and then S-U-R.
Means Southern Cone, because...
Oh, it means Southern Cone.
Southern Cone, yeah. Because
in South America, it's like a cone down there at the bottom of South America, right?
South America have the shape of a cone. And let me give you an example. When we, the Latinos, we say Cono Sur, that means South America. For example, if you see in the news, there is going to be a huge storm for all New England, you understand that that means New York, Massachusetts, Vermont, whatever, isn't it?
Yes.
So, if you see in the news, another example, there's going to be a huge economical crisis for all Cono Sur, that means all South America.
So we have a storm in America and an economic crisis in South America. Okay.
That's just examples, just examples.
Okay, all right.
No, but Cono Sur means South America. And why we choose the name? Because we try to express the main potential that South America, particularly Chile in this case, have to create different kind of wines. You taste our wines. You compare our wines with the rest of the wines that you can find here. And you like it because they're more fresher, they're more unique personality. That is what we try to do, you know? We try to express different personalities.
Well, I think the amazing thing about Chilean wines, there really is a strong emphasis on quality, but the price differential between wines from Chile, wines from other parts of the world. I mean, Chilean wines are more approachable, more economical. Mm-hmm. Is it because of the price of land and the price of labor?
We are well known for being a good value. You know, Chilean wines are really well known because for that price, you're going to get a really nice bottle of wine. But unfortunately. Yeah, that thing is changing because everything okay. are being more expensive in Chile. We don't own our own oil. We don't produce electrical energy. So all the power cost, it's really expensive in Chile. Also, everybody said in South America, the workers are really cheap, which is not anymore. The things are changing, but we as Chilean producers, that we try to do is show our products, you know. We try to people remember us. Why do you do that? Showing and offer a really good quality for that price. You know,
is it exciting to you to see how well received Chilean wines are here in the United States? Because, I mean, there's a lot of wine coming to the U.S. and the rest of the world from Chile.
Yes.
Exciting to you?
Actually, I have the lucky to live in New York. My company sent me to live in New York because I am a winemaker, but also I am in charge of the sales in the U.S.
Wait a second. You're a winemaker and you're in charge of sales as well.
Actually, tomorrow I depart to Chile because we started
You've
the
got
harvest
right now. Yeah. Yes.
And tomorrow I depart from Chile. In May, I'm going to be back here to be in charge of the sales. The thing is, Chile have the characteristic that nobody knows in terms of the things that we talked to in this morning, the terroirs, the main potential, the special places that you get for growing different kind of wines, you know. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, in the same place, we used to put Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, whatever. Now we are learning about the terroirs, and we're picking the perfect place to plant a perfect variety.
Chile is a very long, thin country.
It's around 5,000 miles.
5,000 miles?
Yes.
But very thin.
I'm sorry, 4,000 miles. But also very thin. And the geography in Chile is really a mess because you have Andes Mountains, then you have Central Valleys, then you have the Coast Mountains, and then you have the shores. There is no place in Chile that you go out to your office or your apartment and you always gonna see a mountain. Always, always, always. When I came here at the first time, I arrived to Alabama and I was quite impressed because I never see a mountain, you know. I didn't see mountains, never. In Chile, you always gonna see a mountain. And in winemaking process, mountains mean micro terroirs. Means in this place is perfect for Cabernet Sauvignon, the other place is more cooler that we can put some Pinot Noir, whatever. So there is a lot of things to do.
So people have a very different, I think, in the United States view of Chile than what it really is. They tend to think of it as more, you know, South American, more Latin, more margaritas and sombreros.
Exactly, exactly.
But that's not the case.
No, according to my opinion, no. Maybe another Chileans could be think different, but I'm really proud to my country. I really love my country. The weather in Chile is different. For example, I can hear some guys from Nicaragua, from the northern part of South America. And yeah, those guys have the same roots or because the weather, the bananas, the coconuts. We don't do that. We are more Mediterranean climate. We are more cold climate. And yeah, of course, we like cumbia and we like pachanga, but we are not tropical country at all. Actually, it's quite different. Chileans are different in terms of the cultural, the things that they do. Some Latino Americans, some Latinos, call the Chileans they are really boring because we don't
dance. They're really boring?
Yeah, because we don't dance, because we don't, I don't know. But yeah, we are different. Me, in my opinion, I don't consider Chile as a Latina. It's we are in the austral things. We are really southern things.
Tell me what's exciting in Chile when it comes to wine. What's happening there that you're very excited about? What should we be looking for? What should people be buying when they're looking at Chilean products in the market?
The most exciting thing, according to me, it's Chile. There is a lot of things to do yet. You know, there is a lot of valleys to discover. There is a lot of place to go and see. We are completely allowed by law to plant every variety in every part, you know. Sometimes, for example, 5 years ago, Syrah, for example, or Shiraz.
Yes.
Everybody knows Shiraz as a really warm place variety. But we put Syrah in Limarí and the other vineyards put Syrah in Casablanca. And the results was amazing. Amazing.
Well, how do you account for that?
Because I know when there is another thing, that there is another different. When people of United States, I talking about those and say Cabernet from California, they immediately think that It's a really high alcohol, 16% Cabernet, really thick wine. We don't do that. We try to keep more fresh, more easy to drink wines. For example, Syrah from Australia, 16% alcohol, really fruity, really thick, really tiring. After the third glass, you don't want anymore, you know? The Syrahs...
Speak for yourself, but go ahead.
Actually, they're really tiring, but the wines from Chile should be more fresh, should be more... Nobody gets a punch in the face for the alcohol or for whatever. And
What's the best thing being made in Chile right now? I mean, you have so many different regions and so many different varietals.
Exactly.
What do you think you do best?
I really like the Sauvignon Blancs from Chile.
Really?
Yeah, really. Why? Because it's a different style. And
yet everybody talks about Malbecs and Cabernet Sauvignons. Sauvignon Blancs.
The thing about Sauvignon Blancs, everybody have Cabernet Sauvignon. All the countries have Cabernet Sauvignon. And the Cabernet Sauvignon from Chile are really good. Malbecs in Chile are really good. Also Syrahs, but nobody associate Syrah or Malbec from Chile. They thought that is Argentina or is Australia, you know? But Sauvignon Blancs from Chile, you taste our 20 barrels. It's quite
fantastic,
different.
Fantastic, yes.
Instead of a pomegranate, instead of tropical notes, instead of floral, you're going to get more fresh, nice acidity, nice minerality. You're going to get crispy tannins. You're going to get such a green notes, a little bit of green peppers and asparagus, which is quite interesting. Sauvignon Blanc for a summertime. When I was here in the summertime, every time I show my Sauvignon Blanc, I sold at least 3 cases.
Well, you were the first person. We are at the Uncorked Laguna event, a great big wine tasting with winemakers, really, from all over the world. You were the first to run out of wine.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, there is a combination of things. At least that's what I think. The wines are good, and in the morning today, we have a seminar, and I try to explain the main difference between the wines that I bring to the rest. And people buy it. People believe and they say, okay, so you
said... So when the seminar was over, there was a big line at your tasting booth.
Yeah, I guess so. And the thing is, okay, so you say that your Sauvignon Blanc is so crisp and fresh. Let's put in the taste.
I think it's also because you were bragging about how handsome you were too. Though.
No, not me. The people of Connoisseur.
I heard the Connoisseur team.
That is
of the people on your team.
Oh yes.
Okay, so the wines are Connoisseur. That's Connoisseur.
Exactly.
Your wines can be found purchased in the U.S.
Yes.
Okay.
In every state, actually, I have to say my importer makes a really good job. Our importer is Vineyard Brands. They have a really good job for Connoisseur. And at least in here in California, you can find in Regal. Regal is our distributor, and they also make a really good job because they're looking for wines that not like a sells, I don't care the quality. You say they're looking for a really well balanced between the quality and the price. And let me tell you, Chilean wines are really good alternative for drinking nice and less expensive wine.
Especially in the reds, Chilean wines may be the best value on the planet. Right now.
That's what I heard. Actually, Connoisseur, our flag variety is Pinot Noir. Our Connoisseur Bicicleta Pinot Noir, bicycle Pinot Noir. I spent 9 months in this country, and every time I go to every place, all the people said, for this price point, your Pinot Noir Bicicleta is unbeatable. And it's around $8.99 the bottle, guys. Trust me, you're not gonna die for spend $8.99 for a bottle.
Right, you did.
And you're gonna get a really good Pinot Noir because for making this wine, we blended the origins. If you see the back label, Bicicleta is Valle Central. That means we use Casablanca, Colchagua, and also Biobío for make that wine. We blended the origins because we want to make a really fresh Pinot Noir.
Okay, you know? So you just did the best sales pitch in the world for your wines. You're also the winemaker.
Yes.
And all of the ladies in the audience really want to know whether or not you actually crush the grapes with your bare feet. Say yes, Max.
That would be
just
the
say, Max, just
for Bicicleta, no. For 20 barrels, yes. So if you want to get me, you should buy 20 barrels.
Okay. My guest has been Max Erlewine. He is with Connoisseur Vineyards and Winery. He's the national marketing director here in the United States. Works out of New York, but is also one of the winemakers there.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, tomorrow I have to depart to Chile for the harvest.
And so you'll wash your feet and get ready to stomp the grapes.
Actually, for for crush the berries, we use a special suit. We call Speedo. I don't know.
A Speedo. No.
I'm just kidding.
Max, no. It's been a pleasure.
No. I'm just kidding. We use the guys who fly fish?
Fly fish, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of suit.
Hip waders.
Yeah. We use that kind of...
You know, you just ruined it for a lot of people out there, Max.
Oh, so sorry. If the girls want to taste the thing, well, no, but...
And plus, that natural yeast that comes from the bare feet.
Natural yeast should not be in the feet, actually. No. Okay. If you have yeast in your feet, take care of it, please.
My guest has been Max Arrowvine. He is with Connoisseur Vineyards and Winery. That is based out of Santiago, right?
Yes.
Santiago, Chile.
No, actually, I'm from Santiago, but our cellar is in Chimbarongo.
Okay.
But it is 2 hours driving to south of Santiago. That is, we make all the wines, and we fermented it, and we crushed all the wines.
I was just trying to get people close, Max.
No. Yeah, I'm from Santiago. Yeah, I'm from Santiago.
Okay.
Santiago.
All right.
Santiago,
Chile. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio right after this. It's David Wilson.
Thank you so much.
While David Wilson uncorks the next story, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Grape Encounters Radio. This is not just a wine show. This is Grape Encounters.
Just where is wine country? At Grape Encounters, we know it's coast to coast and continent to continent. Our microphones have traveled far and wide for more than 3 years on vino train trips, across a vineyard via zipline, into the castles of American aristocracy, to the midway at a county fair, into the kitchens of chefs whose culinary artistry is inspired by wine, and front and center for extraordinary tastings and pairings. Where will we go next? We're on the lookout for events, businesses, and people that embody the spirit of Grape Encounters Radio. Share your suggestions. If you know of a great place or event that we should broadcast from, or have a business or guest idea, we want to hear about it. Grape Encounters can deliver national awareness, and we're as close as an email away. Drop us a line. Write to David@GrapeEncountersRadio.com. That's David@GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
That first delightful sip of a fine wine brings so much pleasure. But there's a lot more enjoyment to wine than just the wine. It's the fine gifts and accessories for home entertaining you'll find at epicstyle.com. Even those corks you've been tossing become part of your home's decor with simply beautiful wine bottle cork cages. You've got to see them at epicstyle.com. Wine and hors d'oeuvres won't inadvertently become props in a juggling act when your guests have amazing buffet plates that securely hold both food and your wine glass using just one hand. See how it works at epicstyle.com. And if champagne weren't enough fun in itself, your guests will get a real kick out of the one-of-a-kind top hat ice bucket or delightfully decorated champagne flutes. EpicStyle.com. It's where you'll find creative and useful wine accessories and all you need for entertaining in all price ranges, even a huge assortment for under $25. Once you visit EpicStyle.com, you'll never entertain without it. EpicStyle.com. Fine gifts and accessories for home entertaining.
Days of wine and roses, life and run away like a child.
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio, and it's time to talk to our gadget guru, the one and only Matt Dubow from EpicStyle.com. And Matt, I did a little experimentation this weekend that I want to share with you.
Okay, what'd you do?
Well, you know, last week on the show, we talked a bit about the idea of adding water to wine, something I think you probably would never do, right?
I would never do that.
You would never do it?
Never.
Not in a million years would you water down your wine?
I don't want to say in a million years, but the probability is pretty low.
Okay, so here's the reason that I did it. I had read an article in the New York Times talking about the fact that a lot of the really high alcohol wines really can be improved if you add a little bit of water, because the water brings down the level of alcohol, right?
Right.
And what happens is that little bit of water will actually cause the flavors and the aromas of the wine to open up. It'll also bring down the alcohol, which has that sort of bite,
right,
as people
right.
sometimes call it.
Right.
And gives the wine an edge. So I went to visit some friends, right?
And when I got there, they were in the middle of a bottle of wine. Actually, they had just started it, and they had decided that this particular Zinfandel was totally undrinkable.
Okay.
So I, first of all, said, you know, I could probably fix that wine. I tasted it first, and I thought, First thing I did, aerated the wine.
They didn't aerate.
They did not aerate.
Okay.
Let them taste it. They went, wow, you know what? There is a big difference there, but it still was barely passable, right? So then I asked them to get me a glass of water, and then I put a teaspoon in everybody's glass.
Okay.
Told them to swirl it. They all tasted it, and they all did backflips. I'm not kidding. And in fact, I have to tell you, I was skeptical about this myself, but I am now an absolute believer. I will tell you that the wine did not taste watered down at all. It was absolutely incredible.
So it was one teaspoon to the glass of wine.
It was actually probably about half a glass that we tested it with, so you might actually want to use more. But you could actually do the calculation. Like, for instance, if the wine is 15, let's say, percent alcohol, then you could sit down with a calculator and you could figure out how much water you would need to add to bring it down to around the 13 range.
Yeah,
13 and a half, something like that. Yeah, but suffice to say that a teaspoon or two in a glass of wine is going to make a huge difference, and you will notice it. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to work in every case with every wine, but it's a great idea. So I have a great idea for Matt Dubow, gadget guru of epicstyle.com.
Yes, sir.
I think you should sell water.
In little drip packs?
You're going to sell water as a wine fix-it kit. You don't have to tell them there's water in it.
Just say wine fix-it kit.
The miracle elixir. It's your perfect wine fixer.
Should we call it snake oil?
You know, seriously, Matt, there's money to be made here.
It sounds that way. I have to try it. I don't know if I'm believing it.
Okay. Well, okay. Give it a shot. I'm just going to tell you that it's a follow-up to last week's show. I told you on last week's show that I was skeptical. I went ahead and tried it over the week, and I tried it on multiple people, and it was a huge success. So that's the way that goes.
Okay. Well, have you tried it since then?
No, because I haven't been drinking any wine this week because I'm continuing on my diet.
Well, good for you.
I know. Anyway, hey, before we go, I want to talk a little bit about two things. The first thing I want to talk about is something's bothering me a little bit.
Yes.
And the subject is coasters.
Okay.
Not the group from the 50s and 60s. But you guys sell an enormous number of coasters.
We do.
Now, I know that coasters make sense when it comes to drinking spirits because a regular glass will sit there and sweat and leave rings on your furniture and that sort of thing. Here's a question that I've been asked, and I said I have to really ask the gadget guru.
Okay.
Do you need a coaster for a wine glass that's got a stem?
Yes.
Yes.
And here's the reason why I say this, for a couple reasons. There is a tendency when you are drinking, and I'm not everybody does this, but for a little, sometimes a little drip to kind of come out of the glass and maybe run down the neck of the glass down the side.
Right.
And that's happened. You know, you could be the best in the world at drinking a glass of wine and you could have that little spillage. And I happen to have marble countertops, white marble. And if you don't put a coaster down, it will stay in the marble.
That's exactly right. It'll be a ring there forever. Is there a product to get the wine out of the marble? Do you sell something like that? Will Wine Away work?
I have tried Wine Away, and it did not work on the marble. Marble's really tough because it's really porous. And we've been kind of testing at home some home remedies with baking soda and things like that. And that seems, you let the baking soda sit on it for a while, and it seems to pull it up. But you got to be real careful. The same with, say, a bottle of wine. I use a coaster. I put a coaster underneath the bottle of wine after I pour because there definitely is a tendency if you don't wipe off the neck for the excess to drip down the bottle and then you're going to get it on your countertop.
You know what you should do? You should sell baking soda as snake powder.
I'm going to sell that with the water.
We can fix your wine and we can fix your countertop. But you guys sell an enormous number of coasters, right? I mean, that's a big item, right?
We sell quite a few. We sell paper coasters. We sell glass coasters and felt coasters. We sell actually natural stone coasters.
And you sell custom coasters.
We do sell custom coasters as well.
So like if I wanted my name on it or I wanted Grape Encounters on the coaster, you could make that for me.
We'll have that on the website hopefully in the next coming month.
Do I need to buy a million of them or can I buy just a few?
They'll be short run. That should be hopefully up in the next couple of months.
Okay, so the ensemble of thousands of products on epicstyle.com. And through the month of March, there's a really sweet deal.
Yes.
You go to the Epic Style website, right? And you put in the code WINE, W-I-N-E.
In the promo code, you will receive a 15% discount on your product order.
That's 15%.
Correct, 15%.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why it's such a good deal too. Epic style products are not expensive to begin with. You guys are so price competitive. So 15% off of that means really, Matt, that you're going to have to move into an apartment. And then you know what, Matt?
Yeah.
You won't have to worry about whether you stay in the countertop because it's not your countertop.
I would still worry about it. But I like my house clean.
All right. Well, every conceivable gadget and gizmo and goodie and accessory in the known world for the most part, except for wine fixer elixir and snake powder, can be found at epicstyle.com. Use the promo code WINE and you'll get an additional 15% off the ridiculously, insanely low prices on your entire order, right?
Yes, on the product. Correct. I just want to make sure it's not the freight, it's the product.
On the product itself. Okay. Matt Dubow, are you going to experiment with your wine?
I'm going to try that.
Okay, do it.
Tonight.
And then next week's show, I want your report, okay?
Okay.
Use the promo code WINE at epicstyle.com, 15% off. And we'll see you next week, same time, same channel.
We'll be back. But if you need an extra serving of Grape Encounters, visit us online at grapeencounters.com.